I would say that the message we're going to speak this morning, I preached it on September the 23rd, 2005, but this topic is one of the ones that I have spoke about most often in my 27 years. Probably, I would dare say this, full transparency, because I've wrestled with it early on in particular in my ministry. You say, he spoke about this the most. Is he talking about giving? No, I'm not going to speak about giving. I haven't had an issue in that in my life, but I have regarding this issue I'm going to talk about today. Whenever you get church bulletins together, you received one on the way in today, that there's always the possibility that there's going to be misprints. Okay? Something gets left out, something gets added. And some of the misprints in church bulletins in history are quite hilarious, in my opinion. And these are actual excerpts from church bulletins. And I'll try and word it so you get the letter or the word that was missed. These are actual excerpts. Please join us as we show support for Alan and Amy as they prepare for the girth of their first child. Second one is, join us for Thursday lunch bunch. You'll hear an excellent speaker and heave a great lunch. The music ministry invites any member of the congregation who enjoys sinning to join the choir. The next song we will be that we're going to be singing is Angels We Have Heard Get High. Tonight's service is entitled, What Is Hell Like? Come early and hear our choir. I like this one. The low self-esteem support group will meet Thursday at 7 p.m. Please use the back door. Ladies will like this. Ladies, please support the rummage sale. Here's a chance to get rid of those old things not worth keeping around the house. Don't forget to bring your husbands. Weight Watchers will meet at 6:30 p.m. Please use the large double door at the side entrance. Missionary Bertha Belch will speak at Calvary Church tonight. Come hear Bertha Belch all the way from Africa. And this is the one that's going to be the spinoff for me. Don't let worry kill you. Let our pastor help. Brought that last one to your attention, church, because it leads to the message today. Worry can kill you, and I want to help. I don't want to kill you, but I want to help you learn from the word today how to deal with worry. We entitled the message, really rejecting the idea of rocking chair religion. Vance Havner is where I got the title from. He said, worry is like being in a rocking chair. It'll give you something to do, but you won't go anywhere. 1988, if you're old enough, you remember this musician by the name of Bobby McFerrin. He wrote and recorded a song that he entitled, Don't Worry, Be Happy. How many of you, that's kind of stuck in your brain at different times? It's one of those songs, really, quite honestly, you either loved or you hated. Maybe both. You started out loving it, but you heard it too much and you hated it. I don't know. But a lot of people must have loved it because it went to number one in the Billboard charts in 88. And one of the lines in the song says the words on the screen, in every life we have some trouble. When you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. And then the phrase, don't worry, be happy, went on almost endlessly at times. He got the don't worry part correct. But when you know the Lord and understand faithfulness of God, it's better than happiness. And I would believe today that Jesus' advice to us would be a little bit different than Bobby McFerrin's. It would be, don't worry, be faithful. Say, be faithful. Read the passage with me today, Luke's Gospel chapter 12. Luke's Gospel chapter 12. We'll pick up reading at verse number 22. And if you want to study this, we'll refer to it a little bit today. But Jesus' passage in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew's Gospel chapter 6, picking up at verse number 25 through 33 also. is a recording, if you will, of Jesus' message on the Sermon on the Mount regarding worry. This is Luke's account, if you will. Verse number 22. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, about what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens." Say, consider the ravens. "They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them, and how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." Wow. Let's pray. Lord, thanks for your word. I thank you, Lord, that the word of God is your unsearchable riches. We can never tap it out. And I thank you, Lord, that this message is meant probably more to me now 13 or 14 years after I first preached it than ever before. Responsibilities of the church as it expands and the kingdom as it expands. But Lord, you've given us two beautiful kids as well. And the temptation in my heart is to stress or to be anxiety ridden. And there are people here today, Lord, that when they consider their situations, the flesh could go to that. The enemy could tempt them to worry. I pray that you would give me a word instant, in season and out of season, for these people that you and I love. And if you can't speak through me, speak in spite of me to these people that we care about. In Jesus' mighty and wonderful and awesome name. And everybody would say, amen. Amen. You may be seated. None of us, Brighton, are immune to worry. How many of you know that? We're not immune because of the problems of life. They tempt us to worry, like Bobby's song, that we all have trouble, and when we worry about it, we make the trouble double, if you will. And often, you and I can't control the problems that come our way. But we can control whether or not we worry about these problems. I want you to notice this morning three facts about worry. And then I want to share with you five worry busters, if you will, that if you'll apply them, the Lord will give you victory over worry and can help you well on your way to enjoying a greater peace. First off, I want you to just look at three ideas about worry. First off, they all begin with I. Worry is injurious, if you will. It causes injury in your life. Look what Jesus said. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes." We've all met people, haven't we, that have been addicted to worry? We laugh at them, kind of those worry warts or worryaholics, but that's kind of like laughing at somebody with cancer. Because both the Bible and science agree that worry is harmful to our spirit, but also to our physical health. Dr. Edward Hollowell, he wrote a book, Worry, Controlling It and Using It Wisely, said these words, and I quote, "Excessive worry, or what I call toxic worry, can make you sick. It can cut your enjoyment of life, and it can hamper your productivity. Toxic worry is bad for every system in your body. It increases the risk of heart attacks and strokes. It impairs digestion. It causes shortness of breath. It causes all kind of muscle skeletal aches and pains. And it produces headaches and migraines." He writes that he never knew a person from work did they find death, die from work. But he knew plenty of people who worried themselves to death. I love the story of the newspaper columnist Molly Ivins. And she relates the true story of these two young little boys, probably about Eli's age, 7 or 8 or 9 years of age. And the boys were named John Henry Folk and Boots Cooper. And they were given the assignment to get rid of a chicken snake that was causing considerable damage in a chicken coop. And so they pretended to be Texas Rangers and to arrest the criminal. They put on their cowboy hats, they mounted their stick horses, and rode into the chicken coop, and they were looking to extract this proclaimed snake that was causing trouble. They looked in the nest on the bottom shelf of the snake, no snake. They stood on their tiptoes to try and uncover the snake, and they couldn't find any. And they were just about ready to declare the snake must have escaped, when all of a sudden they looked and raised one nest, and there was the snake staring them flesh in the face. They were so scared, both of them tried to get through the small door and exit the chicken coop, that they caused all kind of damage in the chicken coop. John Henry's mother was watching from the porch, and she started to laugh hilariously as the boys scrambled back towards the house. The mother said, "Why, boys, what's wrong with you? You know perfectly well that that old chicken snake can't hurt you." And John Henry said, "Yes, ma'am, but there's some things that'll scare you so bad that you hurt yourself." And that's exactly what worry does, Brighton. It's a form of self-mutilation. It's harmful to our lives. It's injurious. Secondly, it's ineffective. Jesus said, "Who of you by worrying can add 1 hour to his life?" And the word that's used there can also be adding 1 cubit. The fact of the matter is, we can't add 1 inch to our lives by worrying. It won't make you live longer. In fact, it might cut your life short. And it's not going to make you taller. It's not going to add any kind of good effect to your life. The fact of the matter is, worry is taken from the Anglo-Saxon word to choke. And that's exactly what worry does. It strangles. It chokes out the goodness of life from your person. It's like when you worry, you're choking you off your mind from even receiving the fresh air of faith that God has for your life. If you're a worryaholic, you think about the worst thing that can happen, don't you? You go to the worst case scenario. And then you begin to imagine that it's going to happen. And before long, you're obsessed with fear that it will happen. That's the point at which health concerns become unhealthy worry. I've got a relative who is a worrier. And one time I was flying with them, and the flight that we were on was somewhat turbulent, and the wings were bobbing on the plane a little bit because of the turbulence. And they were afraid, you know what, the wing's going to fall off. And I just got tired of watching them worry about the wing falling off. I said, "You know, if you want to go use the bathroom, I'll make sure the wing doesn't fall off." The fact of the matter is, it's ineffective in our lives. Look at this study from University of Michigan several years ago. They determined in their medical department that 40% of worry is about future possibilities that never happen. 30% of worry is about things in the past that can't possibly change. 12% of worry is about health when nothing is wrong with us. 12% is about insignificant and trivial issues. And 6% of our worry deserves legitimate concern. I would submit to you, in life, for all of us, there's 2 broad categories that you could boil life down to. Wouldn't you agree? You know what? There's things that we can't do anything about. You know what? I can worry about the weather. It's not going to change 1 iota because I worry about it. You know what? I can worry about the Dow Jones Industrials. Brad's little investment isn't going to bring it up or down. There's things that you can't do anything about. And there's things that you can do something about. So don't worry about the first category, because there's nothing you can do about those things. And don't worry about the second category. If there's something you can do, do it. Many years ago, I learned a little poem. I liked it. "For every evil under the sun, either there is a cure or there is none. If there is one, seek till you find it. If there is none, never mind it." Jesus said, don't worry. It's a waste of time. It's ineffective. Jesus literally just said, worry's incorrect. Worry's not just some harmless habit. Brighton, can I just tell you what my personal opinion is? I think this is the number one sin that Christians wrestle with. You see, because the opposite of worry is trusting God. Look what Jesus said, verse 28. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? You know what the Bible says? If you're taking notes, jot down Romans chapter 14, verse 23. You know what that says? That which is not of faith is sin. When you're worrying, you're disobeying the Lord. When I've worried in the past, I've been sinful. God promised he's going to take care of us. Can you say amen? He's going to take care of you. When you worry, you're actually calling the Lord a liar. You're saying, Lord, I really don't believe that you're going to take care of me, so I better worry about this problem. Great preacher. Some of you would recognize the name. Most of you wouldn't. His name is George W. Truett, pastor from generations ago. He said, worry is a mild form of atheism. It was good. A worry wart may not be a theological atheist, but they might as well be. You can proclaim you believe in God until you face and turn until your face turns blue. But when you're worrying, you're saying, you know what, Lord, I just don't believe that you exist. I don't believe that you can be trusted to take care of me. Rhonda can tell you, when we first started the church, you know, when you don't have anybody in a church or very few people, your flesh can go to that. Man, I'd start worrying about the weather in the wintertime along about Thursday afternoon. And I'd look at the weather patterns and I would worry, you know what? What if it wipes out the Sunday? And man, we're barely getting by as it is. Or somebody would come and visit and I'd say, you know what? They seem to really like the church. But man, what if they don't stay? And the Spirit of God just dealt with me. You know what? You're supposed to be a man of God. And you're worrying about things that I'm going to take care of you. If I called you here, Trask, the fact of the matter is I'm going to take care of the church. A Christian who worries is a contradiction in terms. There's a difference, Brighton, hear me. There's a difference between ignorance and stupidity. Ron and I, you've heard the phrase. We use it. You know what? You don't know what you don't know. And if you don't know any better, you could claim ignorance. But when you've been informed of God's word, when you study God's word and refuse to change, that's what I just call plumb stupidity. It's a sin. And like Forrest Gump's mother, stupid is as stupid does. I never really have figured that out, I got to tell you. But maybe you don't know that worry's a sin. Today you need to understand that. You can start having victory when you confess it, when you repent of it. And you say, don't worry, Lord. I'm not going to worry. I'm going to be faithful unto you. I'd be a pretty poor teacher of God's word if I didn't give you practical steps to apply it. So here's five worry busters for our lives today. Realize, number one, Brighton, God cares for birds, flowers, and you. Look what he says again, verse 24. Consider the ravens. Say, consider the ravens. Say, ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them. Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. Jesus taught a lesson to them just from some simple things. Birds and flowers. Says, verse 24, consider the ravens. And you can imagine he's saying that and just a flock of birds fly by. And he points to the wild flowers and he uses them as an example of God's divine care. And you may not know intimately the doctrine of divine providence, but you know something about birds and flowers. Rhonda loves birds. She's got bird houses around our house. She's got bird baths. She's got bird feeders. The place has gone to the birds. In all my years of watching birds, can I tell you, I've never known a bird to die of ulcer, of worry. You know what? You and I know that God provides for the birds of the air. Then he spoke about lilies. And he was talking about these wild flowers that spring up on the hillsides after a rain. Nobody had to plant them. They just grew and bloomed. And when you understand the lessons of the birds and the flowers, you can trust them. Now think about this, because this is a new development from when I preached this 14 years ago. Lord dropped this in my heart. God feeds birds, but they're hard workers. With those little baby birds, you know what? They begin to cry out and they receive the food into their mouths. But when they're mature, they start to go out and work hard for their own food. And when God says God will make sure they have food, he doesn't mean they just sit around and take it all in. The fact of the matter is, birds teach us the important, jot it down, the importance of diligence. We work hard, but we depend on the Lord to give us the sustenance in our lives. But birds teach us about diligence. I want to be as diligent as a bird, but I want to be as dependent as flowers. Flowers are beautiful, aren't they? But they're totally dependent. They can't grow on their own. They don't worry about it. Flowers can't produce what they need. They need nutrients. They need moisture. They need sunlight. They can only accept them. Are you with me? Say amen. Flowers teach us the importance of dependence. Don't worry about the food. Work hard like birds, God says, and God will make sure you've got enough to eat. Don't worry about the clothes on your back or what you're going to wear. Like flowers, God will make sure that you've got something to wear. God didn't promise you designer clothes or gourmet food, but he does promise he'll meet our needs according to his riches and glory. Flowers and birds are his creation. And the fact of the matter is, he gives us this idea of contentment in our lives. Realize God cares about birds, flowers, and you. Secondly, recognize today as a gift. Forget about tomorrow's worries. You know what Jesus said in Matthew's gospel in this account? He said, tomorrow has enough worries of its own. Today has enough worries of its own. Don't worry about tomorrow. And one of the greatest dangers of worry is, Brighton, that it distracts our attention from the now. Jesus said this, look at it from the message paraphrase in Matthew's gospel. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. I've heard worryaholics say something like this. You know what? I'm just afraid of the future that something bad is going to happen in the future. Look up here a second. Can I tell you? Something is going to happen bad in the future. Something bad is going to happen to me in the future. Bad things happen to all of us. But you know what? God is good. God is good. Now, prosperity preachers aren't going to preach that. They're going to just say, you know what? Nothing bad's going to happen to you. And then when your car breaks down or somebody gets ill, you wonder, am I living simple? The rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous, the word says. Bad things are going to happen. But instead of focusing on the bad things or bad possibilities, focus on the goodness of God today. And forever. It's okay to consider the future and plan wisely. But don't worry about the future. That great Holocaust survivor, Corrie ten Boom, she said, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows. It empties today of its strength. Moses said it. I preach it almost every funeral that I do. Psalm 90, verse 12. Lord, teach us to number our days that we may have a heart of wisdom. He didn't say teach us to number our years or months. Every day, today, October 6, 2019, is a gift from Almighty God. Aren't you thankful for today? Today is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. God said, don't worry about tomorrow. It'll ruin today. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is your present. Open your gift. Today's a gift from Almighty God. Thirdly, release your anxiety by simplifying your life. One reason people worry, Brighton, is because their lives are so complicated. They got activities and demands, and they can't do everything well. So they worry about it. And the busier you get, here's kind of a, a quotient in your life. The busier you get, the more inclined you're going to be anxious about what you've got to do. And the story that Jesus told, he tells another story about the different kinds of people that receive God's word. Do you remember the story about the seeds and the soil? And he talks about the word producing life and producing fruit in people's lives. But he talks about, in the story, he talks about the person that has a cluttered life. Look what he says, Luke's Gospel 8. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go their way, they are choked by life's worries. Circle that in your notes. Worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. Can I just tell you something? Scripture is a lot like real estate. It's all about location, location, location. Okay? And if you slip back a few verses from this passage we've read from today, it's where we started this series, sermon number one. Jesus told the story, remember the fool's formula? Jesus tells a story about this farmer that tears down his warehouses and barn houses to build bigger ones so that he might be able to enjoy it. And the passage Jesus said there is, he said, watch out for greed. A man's life does not consist of the abundance of his possessions. The message of the culture is what? That we live in. Grab more, get more. It blares in our television commercials. It stares at us from the pages of magazines and billboards. Americans are like the donkey with the carrot out in front of it, constantly chasing after it. It's on a stick right in front of the donkey. But as the carrot moves, that donkey's always wanting it, but he never gets there. It's kind of like J.P. McCarthy back in the day, WJR. He talked about boats, and boat owners always have two-foot-itis. They want one 2 feet longer and 2 feet longer and 2 feet longer. And when you and I worry and our lives aren't simplified, man, we think if we just get a little bit more, our life's going to be better, and we never arrive. If you want to learn the simple lesson of contentment, you've got to do it, because otherwise the worry will rob you of the joy of today. How many of you know I love you? Thank you for all three of you. Fourthly, realize God cares for birds, flowers, and you. Recognize today's a gift. Forget tomorrow's worries. Release your anxiety by simplifying your life. Refuse to carry your burdens alone. Fourth, we worry about problems when we try to carry them alone. Many of the burdens we have to carry are far too heavy to bear alone, Brighton. And a wonderful worry buster is to unload your burdens on somebody bigger than yourself. I've told you the story a bunch of times, but it's one of my favorite stories about worry. This guy, he's a worry wart at his workplace. He's always stressed. He always looks like he's bearing the burdens of the world. And he walks in one day, and his coworker sees him, and he says, man, this guy's got a different countenance today. Man, he's always worried and stressed out, but not today. So he goes up to the guy, and he says, you know, what happened? You look like a totally different person. There's a peace over your life. You know, usually you're carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders. What's going on? He said, you know what? I found the answer to my worry. He said, his friend said, well, tell me, man. I got to hear this. He, the man that had worried before, he said, you know what? I pay this gentleman $50,000 a month, and he does all the worrying for me. And his friend looks at him, 50 grand a month? Where are you going to come up with that kind of money? The man said, I don't know. That's his worry. Wouldn't it be nice, Brighton, to have somebody do the worry for you? You do. The word of the Lord says this: cast your cares upon Jesus because he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. You can trust him, Brighton. You can cast those burdens upon him today. If you've come in here burdened and heavy laden, I want you to know God wants to carry the burden for you. You can leave here and you say, you know what? I don't want to worry anymore, Lord. I want to unburden this on you. And every believer at different times struggles with this. Can I tell you? You can ask Ron and Tiffany, just my schedule over the next 6 weeks, just crazy. And responsibilities, and I'm grateful for the opportunities to preach and to be a part of building God's kingdom. But man, I looked at the calendar, and the other day in the morning, I was starting to just get anxious about it. And the Spirit of God just began to deal with me. You're going to preach this, Brad. Cast it upon me. I got out of bed and I just began to worship the Lord. So, Lord, you're going to help. You've opened up the doors. I want to be used by you. I don't want to rust out. I want to be used by you. Help me. I want you to know there was a lift even in that bedroom. Just the glory of the Lord filled the place. I began the day with a whole new demeanor. See, why do we find it hard to do? To cast our cares on the Lord. You know what? Sometimes we think, hey, I'm being too nice. I don't want to burden him. He wants to carry your burdens. I love this great old-time reformer. Listen to this. It is his will that I should cast my cares on him each day. He also bids me not to cast my confidence away. But oh, how foolishly I act when taken unaware. I cast away my confidence and carry all my care. Don't you carry your care. Right now, you can choose if you've got a weight upon you for your kids, for your family, for your future, for your finances, for your health, whatever it might be, you can cast that burden upon him and give it to him. He wants to carry it. What's the old saying? I can see it in my mind. The idea of, you know what, I'm not going to stay up all night. I'm going to give the burdens to the Lord. He's going to be all up all night anyway. That cast your burdens upon him. As the worship team comes back, one last idea. Recognize that pleasing God is all that really matters. Jesus gives us, right, a shortcut for worry-free living. Right there. He tells you these other things, but he gives you a shortcut. Seek his kingdom and these things. What are these things? Food and clothes and other needs will be given to you as well. We worry, Brighton, why? Because we don't think we can live up to everyone's expectations. You don't have to worry about whether or not you can. You can't. But since most of us have been born, raised in America, we really can't capture this picture. You know, we live in a democracy, Brighton, in great part. Why? Because there wasn't benevolent monarchs. But make no mistake about it, at least my opinion. You know what? The best governmental form is a godly, benevolent monarch. You know what? That's why Jesus talks about the kingdom. But we can't gather this in our culture because we're all about, man, we got to have the freedom to speak. And man, I want my vote to count. You know what? If we had a godly, godly, godly monarch, I would be all in. I really would. You say, man, that's whack thinking. No, it's really not. It's the word of God. And you see here that we really don't have a perspective of a king and a queen. And the idea that the kingdom is just kind of what we can picture from Great Britain or the United Kingdom or reading our history or fairy tales. But the fact of the matter is that there's been all kinds of kingdoms in history. But just try and remember this regarding this point. You with me? Say amen. It's this. I'm going to try and explain as simply and as briefly as I can regarding the kingdom. Every kingdom has a king, okay? And our king is Jesus. You can't have a kingdom without a kingdom or a monarch. And instead of trying to figure out what the kingdom of God is about, I get it. You just try and be a loyal subject to the king. You know what? The fact of the matter is, a loyal subject to the king is always going to please the king. And if you don't please the king, then you're in trouble. And you can please the king by loving him, obeying him, and serving him. He's a loving and caring king who is both inclined to bless you and provide for you, and he wants to meet all your needs. So instead of worrying about how your needs are going to be met, seek to honor the king. Just say, Lord, in my life, I want to please you. If your word says it, I want to obey it. Lord, I'm going to seek first your kingdom, and I'm going to do that by just saying, Lord, I want to be the best. I want to be the best subject that I can be. You with me? Say amen. Stand with me, would you? Can I tell you, Brighton? Don't focus on 100 different things. Just focus your life on pleasing God. 200 years from today, none of us are going to be walking this earth. All these things that you're worrying about aren't going to matter. But if you dedicate your life to pleasing the Lord, 200 years from now, you'll recognize that was the smartest thing that I could have done. 1,000,000 years from now, you'll realize, you know what? That's the only thing that really mattered was pleasing the king. Are you worrying? Don't worry. Be faithful. Are you afraid? Don't worry. Be faithful. You might say, well, if he only knew, if that pastor only knew what I was going through, he wouldn't be standing there telling me not to worry. You know what? I don't know what you're going through, but he's God, and he doesn't want you to worry. He wants you to cast your burdens upon him. Now, I want you to do this with me one more time. I want you to listen to one more voice. And this was from a man who had been stoned several times. He had been left for dead. He had been shipwrecked. He had been thrown to wild beasts. Can I tell you, that's a bad hair day. He had been hunted by a vicious mob that wanted to kill him. He was in prison waiting to have his head chopped off. While he was in prison, he was surrounded by prison guards. And he wrote a letter. And here's the one thing that he said. Look at it on the screen. He said, do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts. Remember, he's locked to soldiers. And he's saying, you know what? If you pray and give thanks and praise him, the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Wow. If you'll refuse to worry, and instead seek the king and his kingdom and his peace, he'll give it to you today. The world doesn't know this kind of inner peace, Brighton. It only comes from God. But when you have the peace of God, it protects your mind and your heart like those Roman guards did Paul waiting trial. Life is too short to waste worrying. Bishop Taylor Smith years ago said this little quote of a poem, and I love it. The worried cow would have lived till now if she had only saved her breath. But she feared her hay wouldn't last all day, so she mooed herself to death. Don't waste your life worrying. I've had to repent several times in my life. Probably not several, maybe dozens of times. And when difficulties and challenges arise, you can live life grabbing hold of one of two handles. You can grab hold of the handle of worry and fear, and you can live hanging on to worry and fear, or you can let go of that, and you can hold on to the handle that says, you know what, I'm going to have faith and trust in Almighty God, and I'm going to hang on in life trusting in a God that cares for me. It's the only way to live. But here's the deal. You with me? Say amen. You can't hold both handles. Either you're going to hold the handle of worry and fear or faith and trust. But it's an either-or situation. They're mutually exclusive. That's why the writer Solomon said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path clear. He'll make it straight. You can only lean in one direction at a time. Are you here today? and you need to lean on the Lord, He wants to help you.